Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for today's interactive webinar on private equity investing. We have insights from an industry expert featuring Justly. Before we do get started, we do have to read a brief disclosure. The Entrust Group does not provide investment advice nor endorse any products. All information and materials are for educational purposes only. All parties are encouraged to consult with their attorneys, accountants, and financial advisors before entering into any type of investment. The agenda for today's presentation, we're going to introduce Entrust and Justly. We're going to talk private equity with the CEO of Justly, Paul. We will answer any remaining questions and what's coming up in the future with Entrust. My name is Tony Uncle. I am the Business Development Manager for the Entrust Group. I've been with Entrust for a little over 4 years, and we enjoy educating investors and professionals on tax-preferred retirement accounts. The Entrust Group is in our 42nd year in business. We have empowered over 45,000 investors and currently hold a little over $4 billion in assets under administration. One benefit of working with the Entrust Group is we do have the one single point of contact model, where based on your region, you will be assigned to a specific individual to assist you with all your investing needs. The Entrust Group, we are self-directed IRA administrators. We have knowledgeable staff. Many of us hold the CISP designation. We have nationwide offices. We hold in-person events and virtual webinars. We provide a national continuing education program for other credentialed individuals, as well as hold our biannual IRA Academy. What is a self-directed IRA? A self-directed IRA is simply a retirement account in which the individual investor is in charge of making all investment decisions. Self-directed IRAs provide greater opportunity for asset diversification outside of your traditional stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. All securities and investments are held in a retirement account administered by a regulated custodian or trustee. Now, before we turn it over to Paul at Justly, please keep in mind this is an interactive webinar. So as we're asking questions and going back and forth, if any of you do have any questions, feel free to type them into the question box and we will get to them as soon as we can. Thank you. So to get started, we're going to bring on Paul from Justly. Paul, you want to take a couple of seconds, introduce yourself.
Yes, certainly. Thank you, firstly, for having me on the webinar. Justly's a private equity broker-dealer, so we're registered by FINRA. We focus on crowdfunding, so companies looking to raise up to 5 million. We also do Reg A, which is companies looking to raise up to 75 million. In both of those cases, anyone can invest in them. And then Reg D, we do, which is the traditional private equity that you know of institutions and accredited investors being involved in. So we do those three. We also help those issuers find financing. And we're also active in the secondary market, which we'll touch on a little bit later in where the private equity market's going. But we're able to buy and sell private equity off exchange for our clients.
Great. What is private equity?
So private equity is basically where all companies start, is the honest answer. And that's why you hear of seedlings or seed investment and so forth. Private equity is, I guess, a classic example is one of the companies we're working for right now. Is someone who started building EV motorcycles, veteran, started by building EV motorcycles for his friends, and other people found out about it, wanted to buy more bikes. Once someone come to him and said, hey, you know what, the MOD, the MOD would be interested in this. And now he's raising capital because he's got revenue, but he hasn't got enough revenue to buy the parts and stuff that it requires to be able to fulfill these contracts. So what happens is he's going out and asking people to invest in his company. And And what happens is that you as an investor, no different from investing in IBM or Amazon, get a stake in that company. And again, it's still under the same criteria as that you would know as far as a listed company like an IBM, in the sense that you know the value of the shares at the time of purchasing. Where it becomes less like an IBM is that the information that you have is a lot less. The ability to see what your share price is virtually non-existent because it's not listed on the stock market. So that's really the difference between them, is that this is where companies start. This is where the IBM start. Tesla is the best example of a company that everybody knows about that was a private equity company. If you got in it at the very, very beginning on Tesla, you would have made a lot more than you would have done when it went live on the stock market, let alone buying it on the stock market. So this is the ability to get into companies before they become very successful and get listed. But there are risks associated with that, and I think we'll definitely be touching on those a little later. But that's an outline of what private equity truly is.
Great, thank you. So we do have a poll up for the group. Do you have any private equity investments? Feel free to answer the poll, and then we can share the results.
We'll leave this open for about 10 more seconds. Have about 60% voted thus far. Of course, not everyone has to vote. And I think that's what we're going to get. I'm going to go ahead and close it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so it looks like a nice share of folks that are with us today actually do currently invest in private equity. So you have a little background on it, and hopefully the ones that either didn't know or don't have investments, you'll learn a little something today to better enhance that decision moving forward. Paul, how are private equity investments unique?
Well, as we just touched on, they're unique in the sense that it's an opportunity to get in at the beginning of the company's journey. And as I touched on, there is risk associated with that because these companies are just starting up. But the one area that people are looking at more and more in the private equity space is the impact investment aspect, or the ESG element. And this is where they do become more unique, in the sense that a lot of people have started moving money that they would normally give to charity or nonprofits, and they're actually looking at private equity companies to invest in instead. So, for instance, again, if you're a believer in veterans and you want to support veterans, then something like as I say, Hug Cycles that we're working on, veteran-owned, hires people with veterans, people are actually using money they would give to a nonprofit to invest into that company. And therefore, they are making direct impact because it's going directly to the company. They have some skin in the game as far as how that company does. And also they can track, again, how many employees they're bringing on that are veterans. And the plus side is that they can also hopefully make money from investing in that company. So it becomes a good investment, as well as doing having an impact as far as the way they use their money. So that's one of the unique things that we're now seeing as far as using it as an investment tool.
Thank you. Can you provide some moderate examples?
I've mentioned one that we're working on. But modern examples of which probably a lot of the people on here would know would be SpaceX. SpaceX is a private company. You've got Impossible Foods, another company that's been very, very successful. Again, private company. Another big one that's private, Fidelity. Fidelity has deliberately kept itself private because it enables it to manage its business better without shareholders being able to influence or have a say in what they do. So when we touched on this a little early before we come on, that if you've got a listed company that's slightly in trouble, what will happen is someone will come in and buy it, take it over. And what they will normally do is take it private. They take it off market, right? They delist it. And they delist it for a reason. They want to be able to act very, very quickly, very, very swiftly in the way they can change that company. So there has been a huge push and movement that companies are staying private a lot longer. In the past, if you go back probably 10 years, companies would try and get listed as quickly as they could. So they raise money again, get themselves to a good profit, and then they will try and list on the marketplace. And they will try and do that within 3 to 4 years. Now you've got companies that are quite happy to stay private for 6, 10 years. They're still profitable. They're still doing well. They don't see a need to come to the stock market. So again, Impossible Foods is one of those. The other element to these bigger companies of not going to the market is they can pick and choose when they decide to get listed. And if the marketplace, as we saw last year, was very tough, and as overall, then these private companies will hold off. They won't come to market. They don't see there's a need, and they would rather stay as a private equity company, do what they need to do to run their business before they come and sell basically their company to investors and get it listed, which is what it means. They will sell a large percentage of their company, if not all of it, by being listed on the stock market.
All right, thank you. We have another poll. We'll keep this up for a few seconds, so please answer.
Okay, it'll keep this open for another 5 seconds here. I think we're getting about to where we're going to get. Thank you very much, everyone. I'm going to go ahead and close that and share the results here.
Ooh. Interesting.
Sorry, Paul. Do you have any comment about that last before we get into what's trending, or do you want to include that answer into the next slide?
I think I'll include it overall. It's good to see, as I say, it's helpful to see what your client base is looking at and what they're doing. So the answers there were very interesting indeed.
Yeah, and touching off of that, we'll speak on the ESG and other current trends in the private equity space.
Yeah, so again, as I mentioned earlier, with what private equity is it's getting in at the beginning. And therefore it means, a lot of new technology, new companies that are coming up, are looking for investment. So when you start looking at trends, a lot of the trend right now is AI, right? You hear about AI everywhere and everyone goes, okay, what's the stock market got? Which companies are involved in AI? But the real movement in AI is happening in the private equity space. And if you're looking at impact investing and ESG, so different power solutions like solar, geothermal energy, all of those companies that are coming up with that IP and those interesting ideas are actually in the private equity market. And what happens is your BPs of the world your ExxonMobil's of the world, your Ford's of the world, what they're doing is they have venture arms, venture capital arms, and they're actually investing in these smaller companies, in these seedlings, in this technology. And the reason they're doing that is they want to see if these things work. If they work, they can take them, put them into their own company. Another way, the reason they're doing it as well, is they may not want that technology out there. So if you're an oil company, you may not want a very good IP green technology on the energy side getting out there. So therefore, if you buy into it and control it, which they can buy 50, 60% of these things, they can control it. That doesn't necessarily get out. So they can kind of stall it as they can concentrate on their business. And that's one of the reasons CF and Reg A come around, is to enable every investor to be able to get into this technology and be able to invest in these companies, rather than the only people investing into private equity being the large venture capital family offices and accredited investors. So the trend is still AI is one of them, ESG slash impact investing. Impact is still around the same values as ESG, so environmental, social, and governance. But impact is putting the data to that. Again, a lot of people you read in the press about greenwashing. You read about there's no way of really looking at what sort of impact a company doing, being more conscious about their environmental impact or their social impact as far as profits. Well, that's changing. There is data out there. There is agreed upon data out there across the world. And so when you start talking about impact investing, you can actually start taking that data, evaluating it, and using that as a means to work out if the company is going to be successful. Is it a tool that you need? And that's the key thing. Data and information are the most key things in any investment. And as we'll touch on later, one of the risks with private equity is the lack of data, in the sense of being able to obtain as much information as you can as an investor. But data is key. Doesn't matter if it's in the private equity or the listed market. The more data any investor can have on the success of a company or the risk to a company, the more useful it is.
Great. Thank you. So this can be like a two-part question. So what's the typical investment process? Why don't you touch on the private equity firm side of what it looks like, what they have to do for an investor, and then I can touch on it and how to do it within an IRA.
Yes, certainly. And so as far as an issue is concerned, a company is concerned, the first thing they need to do is work out what their strategy is, where they want to go, what they need the money for. Right? You can't just come to an investor and go, hey, give me $10 million. You know, you want to know where that $10 million is going to and how it's going to benefit the growth of the company. So they need to come up with a strategy. They need to produce what we call a data room, which is where they have all of the data that they need that would enable a broker dealer like us to represent them and be able to come up with what is classed as a pitch book, which is information on the company, a bit like a research document that you may see on a listed company. So we help them produce something like that. So that's the first thing they need to do. Then they need to work with legal, because again, if you're a Reg C or a Reg A, you need to produce a Form C or a Form A to the SEC, so that you are able, as an issuer, to have people invest in your company. And then you need a transfer agent, because that's who's going to keep your shareholder list. And then, again, as I say, you need a broker-dealer record that will monitor all the investments, enable you to bring the money in, enable you to run the escrow. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done at the very beginning. The key, again, is a good strategy and, again, a good product. A lot of people in this space believe that they can just walk in and start a CF and they're going to be successful and raise money. And that really isn't the case. You know, that's why you have the unicorns, right? Everyone talks about unicorns being, again, a SpaceX and an Impossible Foods. The reason they got to where they were is they had a good business strategy. They worked on these elements. They knew what they needed the money for. So that's the process that we work on with the issuers. And then you as an investor can use people like Entrust to actually be able to invest in those companies.
Great. And yes, and with Entrust and with your self-directed IRA, once you have identified the private equity deal you would like to participate in, you simply provide the custodian your subscription agreement of the deal that lists out the IRA as your investor. Entrust as custodian will review that document, sign on behalf of the investor, and then process the investment for you. That investment will be held in the name of your retirement account, meaning any proceeds, dividends, or anything paid out on that investment does get paid directly back to your IRA.
And just to touch on how Will Justly works with Entrust, Entrust, as I'm sure you all know, has a marketplace that has various deals on it. Justly has some of our deals on there, and a couple of them have actually worked exactly as just mentioned by Tony. And the other unique thing, I'm an ex-Fidelity guy, is that the big boys, the Schwabs and the Fidelities, unlike Entrust, don't enable clients to trade assets like private equity. So again, Entrust is one of the leaders in this space, and again, one of the reasons Justly is working with them. Risks. Yes, so we touched on this a little earlier. So it's a startup, right? There's no guarantees that this company is going to be successful. So that's one of the biggest risks. Normally, if it's on the stock market and it's listed, it's already gone through the process of generating revenue. Again, Tesla was an extreme, and we've seen some of those extremes recently over the last 5+ years where companies being listed are not profitable and highly valued. That's always been – that's a rarity if you go back through the history of the stock market. But normally when you buy a company that's listed, they're already successful. They're already generating revenue. They're already profitable. And you've got a lot of information associated that when you buy into a private equity, and these private equity companies can be of various stages. So I mentioned the seedlings at the very beginning, but there are companies that could be on their second and third raise. So they're already generating revenue, and you're able to come in and invest in the next tranche of investment in those companies. But that's going to be, say, at $100, whereas if you got in as a seedling, that could be at $2, right? So the companies do go up in the secondary market, and they do go up in a lot of cases as far as the next level of investment, because the company is worth more. And the company's worth more because it's generating more revenue. Now, again, some of those companies, and last year was a good example of a very bad private equity market, one of the worst in history, where even the unicorns dropped by 40, 50% from the last time they raised money. So, again, as companies raise money, you can get in. And it doesn't have to be right at the very beginning. You can get in halfway through as the company starts generating more revenue and becoming more profitable. So when you start looking at the private equity market, the same risks technically are there as it is investing in a listed company. Apart from information is not as easy to get. And again, if you're investing in a private equity company, I would suggest you speak to the CEO. You are able to do that before you invest. And certainly the deals that we deal with, we can make that happen for you. Make sure you're getting as much information as you can and need. You speak to your financial advisor about what the risks are associated with that. And again, run through the criteria that you would normally run through. Again, why are you investing? Are you investing because you want to be investing in a minority business and helping people with disabilities get jobs? Then, okay, that's something a little different from looking for your return on capital that you're putting in. So these sort of elements that you need to look at, make sure you get the information. If the information's not there, then you need to be very, very wary about how you move forward with that. So again, as I say, your fundamental practice of getting data, good information, is what you should be using in private equity as you would do in your normal portfolio. And again, the other risk is, and this is a plus and minus, but a lot of people in private equity will go, okay, that person has started a company and sold it. Started a company and sold it. So he has a track record. So therefore, that is something, again, to look for, that it, that can be classed as a positive. But again, there's no guarantees. So even though you have good CEOs that have started business and founders started businesses, there's no guarantee that the next business they start will be as successful. But again, it's something to look at and something, again, to take into case. As I said earlier, data, data, data. The more information you have, the better it is. The other element with private equity is, as I mentioned earlier, they're not listed. You don't know the price of your stock. Now, there are companies out there like an InvestX that do run a secondary market in private equities. And therefore, there are some companies that you can see a bid and offer. Most of the time, it's offers. And so that's good news that there is a market out there for you to be able to sell potentially your position, but it's not that liquid. And that's a growing side now of private equity. The risk with private equity was, how do I get out? How do I get out from buying in at $2 and it's now potentially 20? How do I do that? Well, that secondary market is coming along. We do that. There are a lot of companies out there that have bids and offers that we work with. So rather than just go to InvestX, which is just one marketplace, we actually go to about 10 to try and get a better idea of what the market truly looks like. Again, it's not very liquid. In a lot of cases, it's normally size to trade. So that is one of your elements that you need to be aware of, is how do I get out? And we touch on that a little later on, one of the things that you need to look at when you start investing.
Great, thanks. So a couple of questions did come in while we were chatting. I think they're going to be good to address now. One was on the prior slide. Is there a way for smaller accredited investors to band together or to partner to invest in startups? Kind of like venture capital firms do. Obviously, their goal is to reduce risk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a few ways you can do it. I mean, there are investment clubs that you can get in that will do that. There's something called an SPV, special purpose vehicle, that we can set up. And the reason they come in is, when you start talking about investment, right, and I apologize, I should have touched on this a little earlier, is the size of investment. Now, when you start talking about CF and Reg A and even Reg D, they can come in all sizes. And what I mean by that is the minimum investment. So in some cases, the minimum investment is $100. So that's fine. In some other cases, the minimum investment's $500,000. And unless you get $500,000, they're not going to be of interest to you. And that's where the SPV comes in. An SPV is something that us as a broker dealer and other people can get a group of investors together, get to that $500,000, and then invest as the SPV. So there is ways of doing it. And again, you know, whoever asked that question, if you want to reach out to me, and again, you can get our information from Entrust. I can go through how that works and different people you can speak to. We actually work with a company called TPI that we are actually working and raise money for, but they actually run portfolios for actors and sports stars, and they actually do a lot of SPVs to do exactly what you're asking, to bring those smaller numbers in so that they can invest in some of these bigger ticket items.
Great, thank you. One more. Do you have any comparison of ROI for a private equity firm, like someone can see for stocks, bonds, et cetera? Now, of course, we can't talk about specific deals, but just generally speaking, is there anything out there that can determine a potential ROI?
Yeah, as I touched on, the key element with any investment that you're doing is get as much information as you can. As I said, we pull together a data room on the company. We do a pitch book, pulling all that data together. So any of the ROIs that a client needs, whoever you're buying the private equity deal through should be able to supply that to you. And again, it's a great question, and these are the questions that your financial advisor, you should be asking and you should be getting. And again, if the broker dealer like us is doing our job, we should be able to supply you with the ROI equivalent to other competitors in that space, right? So that should be part of the pitch deck that people are supplying, or that information should be able to be supplied to you by the broker dealer like us.
Thank you. What are some of the common reasons for private equity investments to fail or underperform?
Again, it's a startup. If we look at last year, it's been a strange marketplace. And we see this in the financial services business, and I'm sure all of you guys as investors have seen this same thing. You know, you have certain elements that just take off, right? And everybody's jumping on the bandwagon, and then boom, they fall off a cliff. And if you look at private equity has been a very, very good investment over a long period of time. But it did go through a boom period a couple of years back. Last year, as I mentioned, was historically terrible for private equity. And so if you imagine you're a startup company looking for capital, last year was a very, very hard year to get it. And the other element that's very, very hard for these startup companies is getting financing, right? Forget the capital and having an investor come in and buy a stake in your company, which is what they're asking you to do. They also need financing. They need financing for working capital, and they need financing for AR. They need financing for various reasons. And so last year was, again, a very, very, very tough year for these smaller companies to keep their businesses afloat, because suddenly none of that was around. Where the marketplace was quite happy to go out and give very high valuations on private equity companies as a whole, suddenly that disappeared. And we've seen that in with mortgages, right? It's like, okay, it's one time salary, and then, you know, 2 years later, it's 10 times salary that we'll loan you for a mortgage. And that's what was going on in the private equity. The valuation, it was basically the issuer was in control. The seller was in control. And last year that was taken away. And that was, again, a simple things that as an investor in any product or any sort of asset, you need to be aware of, right? Even if you're going into property, right? You go into property, we all know property was on a tear the last 2 or 3 years. Now mortgage rates have changed and rates have changed. Has it come off, right? So that's the nervousness. So again, when you get into private equity, these companies are a lot more fragile, because they're new and they're newer and they don't have the stock market to be able to go and do a rights issue or do some of the things that the bigger companies can do with the backing of the BlackRocks, the Fidelities, the institutional investors they have behind them. So that's why they normally fail, is they just don't have the strength to be able to go 12 months, 20 more, 4 months, 36 months without actually being able to bring capital in and sustain their business as far as cash flow.
Very nice. Thank you. How do you get out? I know you briefed on this, touched on this briefly, but how do individuals and or firms get out of these investments?
Yes. So as I say, the secondary market is growing. I think it's going to be over the next 2 to 5 years is going to be one of the growth stories in the financial services business, personally, because it's an area that, you know, private equity is not going to go away. It's an area that we need. It's always been there. It's been the catalyst for the stock market as a whole and companies getting listed. Key element now is that we've started doing CF and Reg A. We want retail investors in there, normal investors in there. We need them to be able to get out. And so you will start seeing a focus on that from various financial services companies. And as I say, you have people like InvestX that's out there, whether you can register that, well, we can register as a broker dealer with them and represent you on that marketplace, showing bids and offers, no different from how you would use a traditional broker to show a bid and offer in IBM or Ford or whatever you may be in. So that's coming. It's there, but it's, as I say, the liquidity is an issue. Again, when you start looking at investing in private equity, one of the things that the VC companies, the family offices always ask the private equity company is, what's your exit strategy? And what they mean by that is, when do you plan to make your money? When do you plan to take full benefit of what you're building? And that can be really done in two ways. One is listing, right? So when you start talking to these private equity companies, it's like, okay, so when do you plan to get a listing? When do you plan to go to the marketplace and be a listed company? Because that's an exit strategy for you as well as them, because they will be selling your shares in that market, or your shares will now become part of that offering, and therefore you'll be able to sell in that marketplace. So you now have that liquidity. Or they get bought out. Their plan is to sell to a bigger company, a competitive company. So those are the sort of questions, again, when you invest in these companies is, okay, what's the end game here for you? Right? Because their end game is your end game in a lot of cases. So that will be, again, when you start looking at investing in the private equity market, that should be one of your key questions. And it's one that a lot of individual investors don't ask because it's a new space to them. Again, it's a case of you're thinking about, okay, I'm investing in this company and it's going to do well. Well, yeah, but what does well mean? Not just for you, not just for revenue, but what does it mean for the company? Because the company's got to go somewhere at some stage to enable you to get out. And it could be that they plan to be like Impossible Foods and they're quite happy, or SpaceX, they're quite happy to be in the private market. So your only real way out is either the company buys your stock back and you can go back to the company and ask them if they'd be interested in buying your stock. And again, that's the type of thing we can do for our client who wants to get out, or the secondary market. Always find out what the game plan, what the end game is for that company. Are they going to be listed, or do they plan to sell themselves to someone else?
Thank you, Paul. How can investors assess credibility and track record of a private equity firm?
Again, as we've touched on, you've got to treat private equity as much as you can like you would any other investment. You need to get the data and the information that you need, right? So when an issuer comes to us and asks us to represent them, some of the things that we do, we do AML and KYC. So we check out the company to make sure that they're is no negative reports on the company. We also check out the senior people of the company to make sure there's nothing negative out there on them. And also the stakeholders. If there's any people who own a position of 20% or more, we will check them out as well. So we're making sure that there's no bad actors there to make sure that the people representing this company are, as I say, in good standing. We will then look at what the company stands for, what the company's doing, what their strategic plan is. And as I say, we will produce a data room and a pitch book for that. Again, one of the key things when investing in companies is, you know, who is leading this? Who is the co-founder? What backing do they have? Again, the bigger the backing they have, the more chance of them being successful. Because if they have good backing, then the chances are the financial elements and the risks of being able to survive 12, 24, 36 months are a lot less because they now have financial backing from a large angel or private investor or organization. So these are all the elements that you need to look at. A little different from when you look at IBM and you see the research reports. You really do need to dig down more into who is the co-founder, what is the product, what type of interest are they getting in that product, what is their IP, right? Do they own their IP? Is there value to that? And again, who else owns stock? Who is already invested in this company? And so when you start looking at that elements, they're the big tick boxes of, okay, this is a good one. They got good backing, which should mean that they have less, they have more runway, run rates, because they have some capital behind them and a good investor behind them. So they're the types of things that you really need to look at and dig into, because they're the key to the success of that company. So again, there's no guarantees, but there's again, no guarantees in the listed market either, as we've seen over the years.
Thank you, Paul. Now we have one more poll up. Please take a couple of seconds to respond.
Thank you very much. We'll leave this open for about 10 more seconds. Thank you to all who participated. Can I close this now and share the results?
Okay. Companies that have a social and environmental impact, that's good. That was zero earlier on.
And then for our final question, Paul, this was actually asked to us in the beginning of the presentation. I held off into the end because I knew it was going to be a slide. But how can investors access the market? What's required to make a private equity investment?
Well, it's been made a lot easier, as I say, with the Jobs Act, creating Reg CF and Reg A. Up until the Jobs Act, a typical retail investor could not invest in private equity. You had to be an accredited investor. You had to be institutional size. So that's changed a lot. And therefore, there are platforms out there like ours where people can come, look at deals, and invest. And you can invest, as I say, depending on the issuer's minimum, you can invest up to $100. In some cases limited at $10,000, $500,000. The information should be there that you need to make an investment. Again, always check with your investment advisor. But on these platforms like ours, you can actually invest using your credit card or ACH, or as we've seen, working with Entrust, to invest with us. And our deals, a couple of our deals are on the marketplace here at Entrust. And also we We also have information on Justly on the marketplace as well, where you can click on and find out more about the deals and so forth that we're doing. With the key element is making sure that when you go in and invest, make sure you pull the information that you need. As I say, I think we've covered a lot today on certain areas that you need to look at. Investing in private equity is a lot easier now, which is good and bad. It's good that it's a lot easier, bad in the sense that a lot of people that enable you to have that access are not necessarily giving you all the information you need or the risk and outlining the risks that are associated. So again, all I can say to everyone is please make sure that you get the information that you need, make the same sort of investment decisions as you would. If you get the chance to speak to the CEO or the company, then please make sure you do it. And again, use people like and trust, because they are doing a lot of that work as well, as we are. Back to you, Tony.
All right. So that concludes our Q&A. So what's coming up in the future with Entrust? We do have a new webinar, Investing in Self-Storage. You can register today and join us on May the 17th. If you have any feedback or would like to hear a specific topic, please let us know in the survey. And any other information on self-directed IRAs, you can visit our Learning Center on the entrustgroup.com. Give everybody a couple of minutes if they have any additional questions. One did come in. Paul, can somebody sell shares as soon as a company is listed, or is there a wait period before shares can be sold?
Good question. So when they're listed, it will depend, is the honest answer, and it depends on how the company has gone about the process of getting listed. In most cases, you should be able to sell the same day, but there may be a period of 1 week, but normally it's the same day. But again, it depends on how they went about listing the company.
Thank you. Give it a couple more seconds for anybody else. If anybody has any additional questions regarding any other specific type of investments, you know, real estate, precious metals, anything like that, our contact information is on the screen. All private equity questions can go directly to Paul. Other investment classes or IRA questions, feel free to reach out to me directly. And we leave you with a closing quote that an investment in knowledge pays the best interest. We thank everybody for joining us today. We hope you found it educational and useful. And again, any questions moving forward, feel free to reach out to either one of us. Have a nice day, everybody.
Thank you.